You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. In the first segment, we talk about a lot. We talk about the state of American soccer journalism. Why? Because we're both very important journalists. And also, we talk about teams. A lot of the teams have released their roster moves. Some players are being let go. Some contracts are expiring and not being picked up. Some may be renegotiated. Some players are coming back on loan. We talk about a lot of that.
And in the second segment, we have Ariel Castillo in studio. This is a very goat-heavy episode.
Yeah.
A lot of kittens, a lot of baby goats, and a lot of soccer talk.
I'm the goat.
So, another fun interview with Ariel Castillo. All this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Come on.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans again.
Look at us. We're here.
Look at this.
We really should have like a countdown clock to how long before they realize we're actually here and kick us out.
Yeah, that should be on the screen behind us.
Yeah, just like a ticker.
Welcome back. This is the Cooligans post Sarakin interview.
Yeah, this is the next level. This is Cooligans 3.0. MLS 3.0 like, was like after the latest expansion.
We're doing updates like iOS does.
Yeah,
you know?
Son, we're coming quick, hard and fast.
A lot of glitches in every single instance. But
some stuff's fucked up, but we're trying to fix it as we go along.
Okay, there's going to be a weird question mark with a square around it throughout this entire episode.
And that's actually the bubble that pops up in your head whenever somebody asks you, why do you listen to this? But I'm so glad you do.
So welcome to another Cooligans episode. This is a weird week where this is like a middle, like there were no games over the weekend. Major League Soccer has decided to play all their playoff games on weekdays,
midweek. Yeah,
because they don't want to compete with some cricket tournament that's going on. nobody's gonna watch.
I mean, you know, the cheerleading competition is happening this weekend. We can't compete.
So this first segment we're excited about because and saddened by, because we're going to talk about sort of a lot of the roster changes that are coming for a lot of the MLS clubs. So and we also have Ariel Castillo on today's show.
Second segment, and she's going to be in studio.
In studio,
our first in studio guest. Let's see if she gets through security.
We have no idea.
We actually have security now.
Yeah, yeah. We're learning that. I mean, it's tough for us to get through security, so it's kind of wild. They're gonna be like, another Cuban?
Yeah.
No, we can't. I don't know if we're gonna allow this.
Every time I come in, security guy's like, you sure you're supposed to be going up there? I'm like, we talk every week.
So, again, welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
And my name is Alexis Guerrero.
I don't think we've said this here, but yeah, we host the Gulliest Soccer Podcast.
Clearly, this is the Gulliest.
The Gulliest, and that's it. Started feeling like we're calling it gully, but we're like eating caviar as we do it. Yeah. It's a little strange.
We are quite gully. Are we not the gulliest?
Quite, sir. Yes. Sir Alexis.
Yeah. Lord Polanco, would you mind?
So we are excited about today's show. A couple of weird things, but yeah, let's start with some of the sad stuff that I think at the end of every, you know, MLS year, there's just like there's a weird like turnaround, right? With rosters, but there's also
this
other,
is like because of cap and budget. It's not just people don't just get to stay where they are.
But soccer, even the changes come through soccer media as well, because I feel like every year, the soccer journalism, soccer, the culture sort of tries to, I don't know, not reinvent itself, but just figure out, make adjustments.
Yes.
And that, so a big thing we want to start with, it is a little sad, but Paul Tenorio.
A huge, big friend of the show.
Friend of the show. We're a huge, huge fan of his work. He's
so great.
He's a writer for 442, and he's the sideline reporter for the Chicago Fire. So you've heard him on there.
And he's doing an amazing job there, by the way.
Does amazing work. Great, great human being.
Yeah.
And we just found out he tweeted yesterday that he is leaving 442. He didn't give the exact reason, but I imagine like most people who are who cover soccer, it's just like, yeah, no dog, we got more money for this.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you do this job for free? No? Oh, well, then you gotta go.
Yeah. So really disappointing because especially his work on 442 has always been great. We've talked about a lot of the stuff that
he's done, a lot of groundbreaking, like reveals. You know, yeah, a lot of great journalism.
And we do him a disservice without a doubt, because he'll bring up like MLS cap rules and really well written and just clearly understood,
very well researched.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like, oh, okay, look, what Paul said was like, yo, they got like $8, and it's like when they want to sell a guy to like another country, and then
you got
to
borrow money, and then they hold a note, and he's just like, I didn't say any of those things. I said none of that.
But I'm paraphrasing, Paul. Yeah. You gotta
Paul, the fans, they understand us more than your nerd talk, dog.
So it's really disappointing that we got to pour a 40 out for another journalist in soccer. I mean, what is this, coconut water?
Coconut water, baby. A lot of potassium. Did you know potassium is an electrolyte?
No, I didn't know.
No, aha. Okay, that was just for my wife, who made fun of me for not knowing that.
Okay.
And I'm like, nobody knows that. Nobody knows potassium is an electrolyte.
Well,
like,
I guess I do. I mean, that's why they tell
no,
you.
No, don't. Not now. Not now.
I mean, I'm just saying,
baby,
it makes
girl,
sense.
Baby girl, stop listening right now. I asked you to only listen to that part of the show.
It makes sense because they asked you to eat bananas to prevent like cramping. So obviously electrolytes are to prevent cramping.
Did you say electrolytes?
Electrolytes, yeah. That's just, I'm talking about my Instagram.
By the way, that's a level of Instagram none of you have. This is why Paul Tenorio
you don't even know about
associated with the show. We're talking about electrolytes.
But look, I think this raises a question regarding what are we supposed to do about how soccer is covered in the country, right? Because it seems like from what we gather from all these people being sort of let go, from a lot of like these independent online zines or whatever, it seems like not enough people are interested in American soccer to pay a journalist full time in whatever like newspaper that they work at or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know the. It's hard to say because it's like, well, do you go to the subscription model? You know, no, that's not going to happen. We have a friend, Evan Davis, who was like, oh, I got a job writing for covering baseball. He's a beat reporter. We're like, oh, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, it's for this, and I'm going to be able to cover the Chicago Fire, I think, for a while he was doing. And we're like, dude, that's huge. And he's like, yeah, it's a website. It's behind a paywall. And immediately I was like, well, that's just never going to work.
Yeah.
You know, like there's enough places for people to get information, but they don't need to specifically follow this one person. So does that, I mean, someone like Mark Fishkin, who's been on the show before, you know, he was doing Seeing Red on a daily basis, which is his show. He was covering the Red Bulls on a daily basis. And I think he was using Patreon. I don't know the exact reason, but he stopped doing it. Right. You know, we could surmise that maybe it just wasn't, you know, beneficial for him financially, or maybe it was just too much work for one person and, you know, he couldn't really compile a team. But, you know, we've seen Soccer by Ives or Yves have to sell. I don't know. You know, you look at the way like soccer journalism is sort of handled in this country, and there's two parts. There's like you cover the sport or you cover the American sport. And it seems to me like besides a very select few, really other than like Grant Wall, Or maybe who's the dude from the New York Times? Is that Andrew Daz, maybe, I think, or Jeff Carlisle?
He writes for ESPN.
Or ESPN. Like those few like guys that you just know, you know what I mean? Other than them, I don't know that there's, I mean, look, Dave Martinez, another friend of ours from Empire of Soccer, had to sell that. You know what I mean? I don't know if it was, maybe he was making money, maybe it was just too much work. It just seems to me like we're sort of at this weird influx. Did you see the video that Taylor Twellman, they put up a Taylor Twellman talking about the ratings?
I did see that.
Yeah, I mean, I was completely enthralled. I was like, why didn't this go for another half hour? Yeah, I would listen to that whole thing.
That was very, very good, yeah.
So he was just talking about how like American soccer, people saying like, oh, the ratings aren't there. The ratings, he's like, that's complete BS. He's like, you know, City versus United. I forget who exactly he was talking about.
Like, it was like Stoke or like, you know, the.
But he was talking about like two big names or like Barcelona versus someone else. Mm-hmm. That was like 500,000 people.
In the U.S.
In
that
the
watched
US.
That
yeah,
game.
That
yeah,
that watched it. Yeah, U.S. Mm-hmm. ratings. He was like, what's it, whatchamacallit? you know, I think I forgot, it was like Seattle versus Atlanta or something. Like that one got 500,000 people. It's like that was the same, if not more, people watch the American sport, you know? Okay. And that doesn't take into consideration tablets and phones, which, you know, we know a lot of young people do. We do as well because we're both very young.
Yeah, we watched soccer while we wear our caps backwards.
Yeah, in our cribs, like legit cribs, boy. Like a bed with walls. Hell yeah, just checking my electrolytes, how many electrolytes I'm getting.
And I'm like, everything I click on, I'm like, this is lit.
Yeah, fam. But like, You see, like, how we're competing and all those things. So it's like the viewership is there. The fan base clearly is there. We're seeing that with the, you know, the turnstile numbers. Everything seems to be there. I think one of the missing pieces is, like, how much the players are getting paid and can the journalists continue to do their job? It almost seems like if you don't get a job with MLS, you may not be able to survive.
Yeah, that is it's this weird thing, like MLS, like MLSsoccer.com is almost like the scaffolding holding, is like the thing holding itself up, you know, when it comes to journalism. But a lot of people, you know, and rightly so, they may not trust MLSsoccer.com more than some independent newspaper to cover the league, because they're obviously going to be biased, without a doubt.
As their top article writer, I don't think I want to call myself a journalist. I will be disrespectful enough to say top, but I will not call myself a journalist. As the most important person at MLSsoccer.com.
Yeah, and like and we also, Ariel Castillo, again, we'll remind you, is on the show.
Yeah. But we'll talk about it because her and I are co-workers now. But as someone who now actually writes for the site, I'm certainly not privy to anything. Like, they won't even let me in the office. I was like, yo, Donnie G, move over a little bit. I throw one of them little corner desks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need a whole thing.
No.
Just those little corner
just
joints.
Right by the radiator. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Oh, that's cool. I'll just be in basketball shorts and a wife beater. I'll be straight. You know, for someone who does that, so I know that there's like, hey, we can't say that. Or, hey, maybe that's not the best topic to bring up.
Yeah.
There's been that. So I get it. Everyone realizes that's the case. I'm not revealing anything.
But that's with MLB.com, NFL.com.
That's everyone. No. NFL.com. Don't bring up the wife beating at the NFL.com.
Go to soccercooligans.com. You will not find one negative word about Alexis and I. No, okay?
Never. In fact, every time somebody puts it up, we take it down. Okay? And also, who's putting this up?
We need negative comments on our site? Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. Not happening.
Performance enhancing drugs. No, not talked about on Soccer Cooligans. And we mean pizza. For us, we've talked about this, and I think everyone knows it. Everyone knows for sure. It's not a big secret. Every website is not going to be like, yo, don't put like the negative thing. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that, or like say it in a way that's a bit more less pessimistic. Things like that, less cynical. Which I think a lot of people say, like, does that keep journalistic integrity? For me, it doesn't matter. I'm writing about stuff that's funny, so I could care. If you come to me for journalistic, you know,
integrity,
you're any integrity, you're the wrong place. Anybody want to buy my OxyContin that I got from my surgery? Like, I have zero. Okay, so
just click the link on the bottom of the article.
Again, go to soccercooligans.com for all your OxyContin needs. Oh boy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We might just incriminate ourselves.
Riel's here. The FBI standing behind us. We'd like to talk to you guys.
It is. There is those two issues, right? Where there's a balance of like, yeah, we are like, you know, it's specifically for a league run website for any sport, where like there is a sense of like you do want to have some journalistic integrity, but I think Major League Soccer is in a more tough position because a lot of times people are going to the site for just to learn anything about Major League Soccer, because there's no other place. There's no real other place to get any of the information. So they're required to also sell the product
100%.
Heavily as well. It feels very grassroots. Well,
I mean, to your point, if you wanted to know more about the Knicks, you're probably not going to go to NBA.com.
I'm going to go downstairs because we ran it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call our private elevator that we have to the Kristaps Porzingis floor.
That's right.
It's also actually two floors.
Private / freight elevator. Yeah,
it's very, and by the way, call our private. We mean our uncle who does freight.
Also, hide under the garbage.
Got to be in the garbage. But like for hello James Dolan, can we come out of the garbage? Like for like if you're gonna if you want to know more about you know the Seattle Seahawks, you just Google Seattle Seahawks. There's hundreds and hundreds of people covering that, yep. whether it's blogs or ESPN or other you know professional sites. If you want to know more about the Seattle Sounders, you're going to either SeattleSounders.com, you're going to MLSsoccer.com. Maybe you'll go to some of the people that we've had on that cover that team, but they're going to be all over the place. You have to sort of follow them on Twitter.
You'll go to Tropic Sounders Twitter account if you want to learn more about Seattle and also be grossed out.
Yeah, completely grossed out. If they could find a way to make STDs into GIFs, Tropic Sounders would have done it already.
Yeah, yeah. He's gonna
make, right now is hard at work.
He's gonna make the first contagious GIF.
Yeah, 100%. You look at it, you start to cough. Your blood like, count goes down.
This? I've been celibate for 40 years. How does this happen?
T cell count low. How is that possible?
So
thanks, Siege.
It's weird. I guess from our perspective, and I was thinking a lot about this yesterday, where it seems like you know a lot of. People, when it comes to journalism, people are like, well, we're pivoting to video and all that stuff. But I think with soccer, it's a little different because it seems like what's succeeding or what's really sort of excelling at the moment is like this like cool soccer culture as opposed to just like just journalists, which is a very important job that needs to be done, right. And it needs to be supported. So it seems like because of you know the social media culture and just the change in technology that, and this is happening across all of journalism, but with soccer in particular, which is already such a small community, yeah. It seems like it's so much tougher for a soccer journalist in America covering the American sport to thrive in almost any real way because people want Vine. That's too short. Journalism is too much. Vine is way too short.
Yeah, Vine's way too short. Can you give us 10-second clips?
But there seems to be that influencer culture and all this stuff. And I think about our future as well, because then it's like
we're wedging ourselves into an industry that's like, why is everyone else leaving? We just got to the party and everyone is starting to leave.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a concern, but it does worry me that in general, and I even speaking on a personal level, I'm not actively looking for like soccer journalism or whatever. If it's like if it lands on my timeline, I'm like, okay, cool, I'll check this out. Yeah. But compared to, I guess, other sports, other people are like, they'll go to ESPN, they'll go to their local papers.
Even punditry. Punditry is like very popular in baseball, extremely popular in baseball, basketball, football. I'm not sure. I mean, this is literally what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we're certainly not journalists. We're way more pundits than anything else if you had to put us in one of those categories.
You're saying pundit or pundit?
Pundit.
It's pundit, but the way you're saying it.
Punditry.
Pundit, yeah.
I'm not putting an N before the T, am I?
Yeah, it just sounds like
pundit.
You know, my Indian doctor's name. You know, it yeah. sounds like a weird.
Wow, come here for the hot takes and the racism. Why you gotta be Indian, bro? Did you ask him?
It just sounds like an Indian name. I'm
it
just saying
the Pakistan.
Way so, you know what? But that.
But like, there really is no punditry.
Yeah, but that very much so. I mean, outside of like shows, you know, outside we have Alexi Lalas, we have the guys like
what
ESPN
is it? Five FC. Minutes at the end of a match?
Sure, I'm saying so. ESPN FC to me, I think is the only show that kind of does this.
Barely talks about American soccer.
Barely talk, but that is similar to the European style of punditry, right? So, but there is something
like, what are you doing? It's American soccer. I mean, I'd rather watch Manchester United or whatever.
Yes, they constantly do that, yeah.
It's that whatever, that Burley. Like, it's Craig Burley just bitching about having to watch American soccer. Well, then turn something else on.
But one thing I always found interesting compared to punditry in other sports is soccer is a weird one because it's such a simple game that it almost feels like it doesn't require punditry.
I feel it's so simple that it almost requires punditry across the board. Like, you know, Look, the European stuff is super boring. Like, every once in a while, it'll pop like a bootleg of it. It'll pop up on YouTube. And it's like, I love Thierry Henry. But Thierry Henry and what is it, Milner? I forget who the. Oh, no, I have the Joe Carragher. Jamie Carragher. Like, every once in a while, they get like a good riff. But for the most part, it sounds like a conversation being had at a library and they don't want to get kicked out. They're like, would you like to tell me about what's happening? And they're like, oh, yes, this is very good. They play the soccer and they kick the ball. I'm like, what is happening? You guys are getting paid to be on TV.
It is.
It's
weird.
Full green screen. Everything looks like you're like in the fancy ballroom of an alien spaceship. Could you get a chair with just four fucking legs? Just a regular chair. Every one of their chairs looks like the head of a Smurf.
It's very high production value for like we didn't have enough chances. And yeah. That's it. That's all you gotta
say. Just a lot of lights in the back. It looks like the season finale of X Factor for the most boring conversations ever. It's shocking.
But that's the thing, but that kind of thing, especially in NFL, like you watch an ESPN like NFL Tonight. Show NFL primetime. There's 13 people.
Yeah,
you know, some people who as they've only looked at a football once.
Yeah,
who have a say on the subject.
And there's like eight former players standing behind them in like a small football field, tossing the ball around. When the nerds are done talking, we'll tell you exactly what happened.
Hey, yeah. get the camera off those virgins. Yeah. Come talk to us.
Hey, Point Dexter, go get me a sandwich. We're gonna talk football. And they have like there's just too many people, and everyone has this. Say.
So, but soccer. I mean, like American football has lent itself well to. It's so complicated, right? There's coverages and zones and defense.
Even just a play can be broken down for the next 20 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. And soccer in itself is a little. I mean, there is complexity, and the game is in itself, and that's what makes it beautiful. Is how simple it is. But when it comes to like if we just broke down defensive strategies and whatever, we could probably go on for a while, but it would be a nightmare.
Ferociously boring.
It would be so bad.
Yeah, we would need a lot more lights behind us to be able to withstand that conversation.
So that's the thing that I think that's a big issue of why the sport in the United States is more, I guess, difficult to sell because I don't know. It almost seems like it's too simple. And it doesn't have the characters like a Stephen A. Even though we can hate Stephen A. Smith. I find him mildly entertaining.
Mildly entertaining, but
that's,
for sure.
That's as much as I'll give him.
The hairline is killing me, though.
You know, I saw him at the airport once.
Yeah.
This must have been, I think, in Vegas, I think I was in.
It's 4'8", right?
No. He's like 6'3".
Oh, is he?
He's very, very tall.
I don't know why I assumed he was short.
He's pretty tall, but the hairline, he is...
Looks like a headband, like the old school headphones.
It's wild. It really is far back there. Yeah. I mean, it's like you don't. It's the first thing you notice.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's jarring when you put on the team and you're like, ah.
Yeah, you're like, I've never seen that much forehead.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's supposed to be that way.
I've seen bald people.
Yeah.
You know, and we know where the forehead begins and ends. Yeah. But with this hairline, you really don't know.
I feel like if you look at a child photo of him, he's gonna have that same exact hairline. Like his hair's never come that far. We're just making fun of a man's hair now.
Exactly.
I see your point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have those characters.
Yeah.
I guess the closest thing we have is Alexi Lalas and Eric Winalda.
Yeah. And there's people that are like, they constantly shit on Alexi Lalas, like all the stupid takes and all the stuff on why you have Bruce Arena on TV or whatever. But look, we need more Alexi Lalas's in the world because we need stuff to talk about. Yes, we are the new Alexi Lalas.
442. We'll take whatever money Paul doesn't want. Do you have video editors? We're gonna make a note to hit my manager up about that.
But we're pivoting to low quality soccer commentary.
We're pivoting to everyone else's crumbs. But no, you're right. I mean, the state of America's, it's funny, like all these players are starting to get really, we barely even talked about it, but players' options aren't getting picked up, so on and so forth. And at the same time, it seems like most journalists' options aren't getting picked up. We need DP journalists.
We need, journalists. Paul Tenorio should be getting a $6 million contract per season to do his coverage.
Paul Tenorio has done more in journalism than Andrea Pirlo ever did on the pitch for an MLS
that is. That is indisputable.
That is pure fact. That is 100%
okay.
fact.
I'm almost sure Paul Tenorio has even played more minutes.
I think Paul Tenorio would have made a better pass at the last round, the last leg of the playoff game against.
Okay. Paul Tenorio, great crosses.
Great crosses.
On that man.
Yeah.
So
I think he's got one good one in him. So
that's all we need.
That's all we need. We just needed one.
So let's talk about...
Let's just talk about some of the big names.
Yes.
So MLS Soccer did an article. Let me see who did the article.
I wrote down a
couple. It was by MLS Soccer staff. So good job, guys. Who'd you write down? Who was like your biggest shock?
So we're NYCFC fans, so let's just get those out of the way because I'm a little bummed about it. RJ Allen.
RJ Allen, you know, he did sign that new contract, $100,000 a year,
like,
I believe.
$120,000 or something.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a little over $100,000. That's a big hit on anyone's cap for a defender that it wasn't starting towards the end of the season. So I don't know if this is a chance. Him and Ethan White, I'm very surprised with. I don't know if this is a chance to restructure or if this is we don't need you. I can't imagine with the way we played, the NYCFC played defense, that they don't need either of them.
Yeah, so the one thing that people are sort of noticing, specifically with NYCFC, I don't know if other teams have done this, but you can let us know. I know Atlanta United, I think, also did this. But some of the teams are doing, like, you know, best of moments of the players that they right. are not re-signing. So NYCFC did this with RJ Allen.
Highlights.
Ethan White and Mikey Lopez.
Yeah.
So... three people who have all been on our show in some form. Ethan White, we did interview him on video.
That's it.
So it seems...
If you do the Cooligans...
The connection seems to be...
You go home. You go home.
The connection seems to be quite clear.
I hope Vieira brought that up in the exit interviews. He's like, I mean, you did the Cooligans. Like, I'm not...
I mean, this is...
this is not right.
It's quite... I mean, you really let the team down.
No. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's how he's
acting. Yeah, yeah, 100%. RJ Allen's like, are you painting me?
But yeah, I think disappointing. I think for me, obviously, you know, to me personally, especially seeing how well RJ Allen played, RJ Allen has been with the team since its first season.
And let's not forget, this man was coaching soccer in Staten Island.
Yeah,
and he tried out and walked on and ended up becoming a starter. That amazing, assist to David Villa
in Portland.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got. He's going to have opportunities after this, for sure.
I think so, yeah, because he was great for the team and definitely representative of like sort of the heart and soul of the team, I thought.
Sure.
But,
I mean, if anyone's worried about not getting picked up by another team, don't forget LA Galaxy completely left everyone off their roster.
They have like two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think three of the chairs, they also just didn't pick up the contract.
What am I supposed to do with all these jerseys? All these extra jerseys.
The kit man has just got this huge stat. I mean, this is unfair.
He just pokes his head out of
I can't get out.
Yeah.
People think I'm a hoarder.
I'm trapped. And Mikey Lopez also, to me, a bit surprising, even from a sort of a strategic level. I thought he was a great defensive mid, and he the games, especially the ones that he started, I thought he was great.
He showed when he started playing a bit more consistently that he had a lot more skill than people gave him credit for. Like when he first came on, people thought like, oh, all energy, no real talent. Maybe he'll gut it out, and he clearly had talent. And that one game he played at wingback was great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, clearly there's some skill there. Hopefully they get another opportunity. Jermaine Jones, someone else who I think I'm surprised. I'm not that surprised, but another big name. Speaking of LA Galaxy. And again, they really did drop everyone but 12 people. So, you know, they're completely, a whole new team.
The ones I was most, not most surprised by, but Clement Diop.
Yeah.
And Brian Rowe. They have no goalkeeper.
They got rid of the third one, too. I forget who the other one is, LA Galaxy.
It really doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, no.
The other guy.
Yeah, if you weren't good enough to beat Diop onto that headline.
They were all equally bad. Everybody was like, you know what? You take this. No, you know what? You take this. No, you know what? Nobody wants this job.
Wouldn't be surprised if they let go of the goalpost, the crossbar, everyone.
I think if they had no goalkeeper on their roster, even in 2018, I think they would have had a better goal difference.
Ouch.
So yeah. They were all very, very bad. So, they have to replace they have to replace their goalkeeper. But the interesting thing with LA Galaxy is the imminent LAFC team that is going to be, basically not across the street, but the team that's actually going to be in Los Angeles.
Actually Los Angeles, and seems to have some pretty big names coming in, so I'm sure they're scared.
So a couple other ones, Alan Gordon, Colorado Rapids, let go. We met.
And they're not going to buy Louis Gill. He was on loan from Querétaro. I forget how they pronounce it. They were going to buy him.
Wasn't Gill at Orlando, or was he in Colorado?
I believe he was in Orlando. No, yeah, he was. He was traded from Orlando after returning to MLS on loan. Yeah. Acquired in midseason trade with Orlando.
Okay.
So he was traded to the Rapids.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Gordon. Oh, and Josh Gatt, who was like, you know, an American, you know, he was playing in Sweden, I think, for a while.
Yeah, he was in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Josh Gatt.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Good reference.
Left it right.
Yeah. Imagine that fat dude on the field. If he could do it, I could do it. But Alan Gordon, who's a friend of the show as well, I hung out with him a little bit at All-Star Game. He was a great guy.
Hey, dude.
So he's not, that's not happening.
I mean, he's like an MLS vet. I mean, either he'll get like another opportunity, another like 1 year deal at another club to be able to like bang in some headers and take off his shirt. That's his calling card.
Give him a contract that we don't start paying you until the 90th minute, because that's when he's going to score.
A couple other surprises. To me, maybe there's, again, some of these players might be getting their deals restructured. So we don't know. These are not, they're not definitively gone, but they, you know, their options weren't picked up. Hernan Grana from FC Dallas. He was an MLS All-Star. We saw him at the All-Star game, and then, you know, options not getting picked up. So that's a bit of a surprise. I know FC Dallas, they had they didn't make the playoffs. Huge drop off from the year prior, from winning the Supporters Shield and winning the U.S. Open Cup. So obviously they're going to, you know, kind of make a bunch of changes. But it looks like, I mean, if you trust anybody if you trust any team with their future, FC Dallas is one of the ones you're like, you're not too worried about. Also, very, very, very surprising to me, and feel almost hurts a little bit. Oh, crap. All right. Hurts a little bit. New York Red Bulls.
Mike Grella. I'm shocked by that one. I wasn't going to say that one next. I am shocked by that. I know he had the knee injury that kept him out most season. Maybe they are restructuring his contract, because I know he came in from Europe, so I think he gets paid a little more.
Red Bulls did thank you. They tweeted out, thank you, Mike Grella. So it seems like it's done. I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, if I were a team like NYCFC, I would take him immediately. You know, I know he has that knee injury. He's only 30 years old.
That's an interesting point, because this will be the first, if that happens, that'll be the first Red Bull that becomes a NYCFC player. Are you
first turncoat?
Are you comfortable? You think Grella would consider not doing it? I mean, I feel like if you're a soccer player in the U.S., Mehdi Bellucci played for the Red Bulls.
Yeah, he played for the Red Bulls for a long time.
Okay, I guess it doesn't really count. That was an expansion team.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it counts. But this would be the first one to leave and then immediately go.
The rivalry didn't even exist. I'm saying he was there the first year.
Would be the first person to like take
like
part in a game.
As soon as he got picked, taken in like an expansion draft, they're like, no, yeah. I can't. Like, it would be weird to have such a passionate rivalry for a team that doesn't exist yet.
Grella will be the Sol Campbell, you know, switch from Tottenham to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Caused a big uproar.
How do you guys feel? How do Red Bull fans feel? How do NYCFC fans feel? Would you be okay with the you know, someone from the opposing team joining the team, even if they were really good? You know, I know Mike Grella has that classic moment of nutmegging Frank Lampard. That was like his that gif keeps getting
always shown whenever Lampard gets brought up. So maybe he comes in and Lampard's there like, huh, you're going to be carrying bags for a while, buddy.
Also Sal Zizzo, another.
So yeah, who came from, you know, both him and Mike Grella had trials at NYCFC.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know Sal Zizzo was involved a little bit. So there, yeah, he goes. And Danny Huzin over in San Jose.
Hey,
yeah.
That's a surprise. He was great. He was one of the only good players.
And they just got a manager. The guy who managed the men's national team, manager for New Zealand.
Ooh.
That powerhouse.
Strong squad.
So he's like, all right, boys. San Jose.
The all whites.
Yeah, the all whites. Uncomfortable.
We know who Trump supports.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Trump's like, I like this team.
I don't know something about them.
I don't know.
All good people on both sides. Right?
No, sir. Just that side. Seems like great. They don't want to knock any statues down. I don't know why that's that accent is not Trump, but whatever. But yeah, I'm surprised. I know they got they have a new coach, you know, a team that played pretty much 10-0-0 as their formation in New Zealand.
He's going to bring that kind of technical, that strategy to San Jose.
Nuance, you know, of like, why? You can't lose a game if you don't score,
exactly.
But they don't. But you can lose a game if they score, even if you do. So let's just never score.
It's going to be some beautiful football play.
So good thing you guys have the world's longest bar, because you're going to need it.
Also in San Jose, Victor Bernardes.
Bernardes
is a guy who is just...
clearly made up his own last name. Is it Fernandez? Is it Bernardo? How about both of them?
he's a center back that is just... he's a force.
He's a monster.
He's a big dude, but he's suffered the problem of he has some bad on the low lights. He has a couple bad ones. A lot of bad plays.
A lot of mistakes.
A lot of mistakes, but I think it sort of reached the point. He's older. Another MLS vet. I think he's
35.
Been in the league, I think, like 12 or 13 years, something like that. Has so many caps for the Earthquakes, and. So I think this is a sort of a sign of like, oh, okay, we're going to go in a new direction.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He was a reliable guy, I think. He made his mistakes, but for the most part, pretty reliable. Surprised me a little bit that they're going to go in another direction. So the other one, another team that made a lot of changes, Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver got rid of Bolaños, which, you know, wasn't really doing much. A couple assists, but not much.
Bolaños is the Costa Rican international, right? So, it's weird because he played well during the Hex for Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And
we saw them at Rebel Arena. He was playing great
for the Gold Cup. Yeah, yeah. And also David Ustad.
Yeah, that's right. They told him in June apparently that he wasn't coming. I mean, that's
he was.
Good luck between the posts. We're not bringing you back next year.
What? So give your best effort out there.
So do it all for us.
But he did get replaced towards the end of the season by Stefan Marinovic, the New Zealand goalkeeper.
Right.
Surprisingly, all white.
Very white. The very whites.
And he did play pretty. I think he played well. He played in the game that got San Jose into the playoffs.
I just want to say I want to apologize. I said the very whites. I know that's trademarked by most people in soccer media in America. So I'm so sorry.
How dare you?
I don't want to get sued for trademark infringement. That's most people on camera in American soccer.
Eric Castillo gonna be here.
Yeah,
that's great.
Switches it up.
Changing it up.
Yeah. Is that a vowel at the end of your name? Get back behind the camera.
Marinovic was the guy who helped them get to the playoffs in that final game. I forgot who they played, but they scored that late goal to get to the playoffs, and then he allowed 5 goals in the playoff game against Vancouver.
Jesus. But Alstead, I mean, I you know. My...
Oh no! I'm sorry. I'm getting confused. Wait, is Marinovic? San Jose. Who was the San Jose? Oh, San Jose keeper is the other guy. Sorry, Marinovic. I got him confused. I thought Marinovic was in San Jose. I'm
confused. He's not.
He's not. No, Marinovic is on. Who is it? Is on Vancouver, and he's the one replacing Ustad.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know why I just mixed those two up. So I apologize. Yeah. To everybody.
I should have corrected you, but I did not know who replaced Ustad. Ustad was in my my fantasy team for a while.
Oh,
loved him.
That you paid attention to for 3 seconds?
I was talking about the previous year where I actually won it. I don't know if you remember on the last kick.
Yeah. I've been paying it. I've been I was trying to heavily pay attention to the MLS fantasy a lot the last year and this year. I didn't win, a lot of people didn't win. But
we did have a lot of people join.
But the Premier League, I'm in first in our fantasy.
Oh, I was in first for a while.
So
sliding back. It's only like 8 of us in that one, though.
Yeah, so it's reasonable.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, so that's it. So if there's anyone else, there's a couple people that tweeted at us that were surprised about, speaking of NYCFC, Roddy Russell.
Yeah, he was upset about Shannon Gomez.
About Shannon Gomez.
Yeah, because he's Trinidadian. He also said NYCFC ruined his career Which I don't know how. I guess by not giving him playing time.
Maybe. I know he. I know
he's like a 48 or 56 or something in FIFA. It's like everybody calm down.
I thought you were gonna say he's 48 or 56 years old. I'm like, really?
He looks wow, really? Great.
Black really don't crack.
I mean, you're 90, so.
So, yeah, so he mentioned that a couple of people mentioned Frederic Briant.
Briant. I mean, look, slow, a little bit injuries here and there.
But when it comes to NYCFC's defense, pretty reliable.
Was reliable. Briant came in at the end of the season.
But when he did replace Maxime Cheneau, it wasn't like NYCFC was just allowing way more goals than before.
We didn't talk about the big reveal, which we didn't know. Herrera, actually a 2-year loan, not a one.
That's right.
So Yangel Herrera, who cannot play for Manchester City, they want him to play. Like, they brought him in. He's going to get burned, but he doesn't have the ability to because there's that 75%. You have to be called up to 75% of your national team games.
It's a work visa thing.
So, like, he cannot play in England.
Brexit!
Yeah.
Loving Brexit right now.
Brexit, like, by the way, it's still the same thing, but not for soccer. You can bring in whoever the hell you want. But Yangel Herrera going to get another year of burn at NYCFC.
That's very, very exciting.
It may not be the full year, you know. It may be one of those, like, January transfer things. Summer transfer things. I hope not. Clearly a really good player.
But he's not. He wouldn't be transferred before the World Cup. It would have to be after the World Cup.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, no, that's still within the summer transfer window. Summer transfer window goes through September.
Okay.
Into September, yeah. The World Cup is done July 4th.
I don't know how seasons work.
Yeah. Nah, yo, you just wear a winter coat the whole time. Polanco's not hot.
All right. I'm always in my Avirex jacket.
He has a Pele on at all times. The full stitch, like the whole scene.
8-ball in the back.
I'm going to bring in a Malcolm X leather jacket next week.
So let us know if there's anybody else. Tweet at us at SoccerCooligans. Email SoccerCooligans@gmail.com. If there's anyone that you're really sad that your team let go. I mean, it's a weird time. This happens every single season. But there's a couple guys that you just sort of, they feel like the heart of the team. That you just like, maybe they don't get all the playing time in the world, but you're just like, they feel like the backbone of the team. And then when they're gone, it is kind of disappointing. So. Yeah.
So, obviously a lot of roster changes, a lot of changes, some new managers. Managers are getting hired left and right. I think I made a mistake too. I think the guy from the New Zealand national team is actually going to Colorado Rapids.
Oh, okay.
I think the guy from...
There's no facts here.
I think Markle, I think whatever his name, who knows?
Angela Merkel.
Anyway. Angela Merkel. Yeah. Or Meghan Markle, you know, the new princess. By the way, black chick, welcome. Come on, England. Come into the new age, baby.
Interesting because, she is a black woman. Yeah. But as soon as they got engaged, they were like, the prince is engaged to a mixed race woman. Oh, yeah,
mixed race, part black, part okay with the family.
Absurd. Yeah. Anyway.
I cannot wait for the queen to just be like, where's my drink, dear? And they're like, no. She's a princess. That's not.
She didn't do that.
Yeah, you don't give her the drink order.
All right, guys. So let's get out of here and let's get into our second segment. Ariel Castillo will be here.
Building. We're so excited.
It's gonna be super, super fun. You can always tweet at us. Let us know if there's anyone you're disappointed that is leaving the club. But
if you're watching, comment below.
Yeah, do it. So let's get. I guess we'll be right back after these.
Yeah, listen to this commercial and we'll be right back with Ariel Castillo. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Quick break here. I just want to tell you a little bit about On the Volley apparel. You've heard it so many times. Some of you actually went out and bought some of the gear. It's absolutely incredible. Once again, my favorite hoodie I've ever had in my entire life.
Great gear. They make great stuff.
Absolutely. Big fan of the podcast as well.
Yeah, it's soccer-inspired clothing. Look, you've heard us talk about it before. You've seen us wearing some of the clothing on our videos.
Yeah, we're always wearing it in the videos.
It's great stuff. It's urban inspired. It is hip hop.
It's a little hood. It's a little soccer, but it's all dope. Super high quality, very comfortable, and not very expensive. And it's even less expensive because you listen to us.
Exactly. So if you use the promo code Cooligans, you'll receive 30% off. That's
incredible.
That's a hot deal.
Come on now.
Hot deal. So make sure you use the promo code Cooligans. Look, they right before the MLS season, there's a lot of new apparel, you know, coming out.
Sure.
So you can check it out there.
And they got a whole bunch of new designs and stuff coming out. And again, get their hoodies, get their sweatshirts. They're incredibly comfortable. They got cool t-shirts. They got like 3/4 length sleeves. They even got stuff for the ladies.
They have stuff. They have stuff for actual gameplay.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So listen, if you didn't get something for your girl on Valentine's Day, hustle up, get something. You get yourself 30% off. Make her feel a little better at the end of the week when you get that shipment. And look what I got you. It's on the volley. And they're like, yo, isn't this the same thing Alexis and Christian wear? And then you watching them when I'm not around? And then right. You can have an argument because how much the girl loves us.
You sort that out, right. Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, we're not trying to ruin any relationship or marriage. It's not our fault.
We're too pretty.
But make sure, go to onthevalleyapparel.com, onthevalleyapparel.com, and use the promo code Cooligans, and you'll get 30% off.
So make 30% off.
It's a great deal. So do that right now.
Yeah, we're back. You don't have to do anything. But I don't know. Look who's here.
There's a person.
We have someone in studio. This is better than an apartment in Brooklyn, I think, a little bit.
Our first in-studio guest at Cumulus Media.
That's me? Yay.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, this is your...
I feel so honored, guys.
You've christened the studio. All right. You've broken the champagne on the front. Please don't break champagne in here. But... You know, guys, you know exactly who Arielle is. You've seen her on Fusion. You've seen her on television. You've seen her on social media. You've seen her hugging goats, which you may see in the background. You've seen her all over American soccer. You definitely read her on MLSsoccer.com. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Ariel Castillo!
Definitely, I think my parents sent out a lot of checks this winter.
American soccer.
Glad to know they clear.
Yeah. Well, we were talking just about like the state of American soccer journalism. Paul Tenorio's leaving 442 and people are leaving left and right. We were talking about how like it almost seems like if you don't get a job with MLSsoccer.com, you may not survive. You came from a different angle, though. You've always done more like, I guess, like a lot more lifestyle segments. You've done a lot of stuff with like soccer gods people might remember from Fusion. Talk a little bit about how you got started in soccer.
Yeah. So just like you said, so I came up along the nutshell version, right, is that I was actually a music journalist for a while and I worked in print media. And then about almost 5 years ago, I started Fusion, which at that time was a joint venture between ABC, Disney and Univision, although it's gone through 5 iterations. And
is it still around?
It's on TV as Fusion, and then they bought Gawker and became Splinter News Online. Anyway, it's not interesting, but that's like a whole separate podcast, the state of American media. But yeah, so then when I was working there, I did a lot of like lifestyle and then sports stuff for TV and digital. And I wound up, we went all in on World Cup 2014, so that was first when I started professionally covering soccer, and then from there it went to soccer gods, and long story short, now I'm here.
There you are. I mean, peak of your career.
Yeah.
Talking to us too.
It's not everyone that gives me this cat graphic.
Yeah. For everyone listening, if you don't know, check out the video on YouTube. We made a pretty cool thing for the back wall. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just if you are, obviously, Ariel, you have this very strange, I feel like we're just jumping right into that, like, who you are.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
But you have
very controversial topic here.
I mean, and this might offend most people. you have this very strange fascination with goats, which is why I put a bunch. I put this together. You have goats and cats seems to be a very strong, strong
people know you for that. Yeah.
You know what it is? So like my mother and my aunt raised goats in Tennessee outside of Nashville.
Okay.
So that's where the photos started coming from. And then just when the internet just really got bad last year and this year, I just started posting photos.
Because it was awesome before.
Always good. It was very good. It was very good.
When online got really challenging, I just started posting photos of goats because no one can get really mad at that. You know, everyone.
I do because I'm like, I want to eat every one of these goats. But very hungry.
So now it's just like a thing. So I'm just running with it.
It's so funny. Like you'll hold like a cute goat or like put a picture of a nice goat. And in my head, I'm like, there's good meat there. Like, let's butcher this thing.
You know, most of the ones that, just to be pedantic about goats, most of the ones that I'm posting are not meat goats. They're dairy goats.
They're dairy goats.
Yes.
I'm also
so
thirsty.
So there you go. Yeah. They make delicious cheese.
Oh, let's do it.
What a strange category to live your life in. You're a meat goat. You're a dairy goat.
Get out of the Dairy Goat Circle. You know where you belong.
Hanging out with the cool goats.
This VIP. This goat. It's just milk. Come on. These guys make cheese. What do you got? You got nothing.
My other talent clearly is cratering things and taking them away from any serious soccer talk. Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad I managed that in 3 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, we did it. We did it.
Well, one thing I did want to ask you that I think is really cool, and the longer, you know, we've been doing this a little over 2 years, and I know, like, Alexis, I think, has known you longer than I have, but I know your brother.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we both met, Ariel, though, is through your brother.
Because your brother
did comedy for a while here in New York.
He's a comedian.
Yeah.
I think he was. I don't think he does stand-up anymore.
He
does
improv.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, he went to the dark side.
Angel. Yeah. Great dude. When I started, we were doing open mics together. He's a great guy. but when I met you and I started seeing what you were doing in Taco, the interesting thing I've noticed is, like, when we especially when we travel, a lot of people, especially women, connect with you and relate to you a lot, because I feel like you, to some extent, you are like a female voice in Major League Soccer, and from even like a youth, younger perspective, the goats and cats and all that stuff. But a lot of times, a lot of women we meet that are, you know, passionate about soccer are like, "Do you know Ariel? Have you met Ariel?" They always want.
You're like the
meet
beacon.
You.
You're the beacon for, like, I guess, like, not just women, but like females that are like associated with the sport, but aren't like, you know, just caring about like the tactics. Like, you seem to have sort of this, like, this grip on like a bit of the lifestyle,
like,
of the
more
sport.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, part of it, and that's why I do it. So thanks, everyone. But yeah, for me, like, what happens within the white lines is obviously that's the sport, right? It's so interesting. But for me, one of the best things about soccer is this whole world around it, and just like the pageantry around it and the way it connects you to people globally, and just crazy things happen. I mean, insane things happen. In this country, I think the NBA is like just the best at social media, but just globally there's soccer and it's such a circus. And I'm happy if women in particular are stoked to talk to me, because there aren't too many in the industry, and the ones I meet are all badasses. But yeah,
is there any, like, when it comes from especially a social media perspective, which is what I believe that's predominantly your job, as I'm not even sure.
I have no clue. We don't know what you do.
So it's so funny,
Ariel. What do you do?
Yeah.
Like, so literally, so I do a lot of things. Yeah.
Don Garber asked us to ask you this.
This is your performance review, by the way.
Yeah. Your year end review.
So like 30-40% of the time I am working with the social media team, but I do a lot of stuff that's like behind the scenes. That's not, you know, like yesterday I was updating roster pages, and I do a lot of web editing, and I assign stories and I write stuff. But my passion is definitely being out there with people and among the fans and the stands, doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because you have like these moments where you're like, you're doing a lot of vlogs.
Yeah.
But that's not something you consistently do. I guess that every once in a while they make you travel.
Yeah, when
to
I
the
travel,
games.
So hopefully we'll be doing more of that next season for sure.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's a very entertaining stuff, and it's like it's so funny because you and David Goss were at the famous tunnel fight game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Neither one of
you,
were
throw a few punches.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah. I Greg Vanney, not and Jesse Marsh, actually neither of them. I feel like they would both be kind of tough in a scrap.
Yeah,
I didn't want either.
Marsh
of them
got a lot of anger in him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but I literally, it sounds like the political answer. I didn't see anything, but I literally didn't see anything because my job doing social during those games is to post up behind a goal, which is why you always see me in the background of ESPN like, oh my god. But so I was literally there, and by the time I made it back, I didn't even know that anything had happened. And
you're typically, we see you wearing the photographer's bib behind a goal or something.
I'm like Forrest Gump.
On any given day, is there like specifically from a social media perspective, do you find yourself like actively, I don't know, looking for like great, like funny, or, you know, social media things or things that are interesting? Do these things fall on your lap, or are you like actively like searching for them?
I look, but my problem is, my like legitimate problem is, I'm too online, as we say, online. Okay. So I just, people are like, how did you find some? I don't even know anymore. It's kind of sad. Help.
It's like the algorithm knows, like, Ariel wants to see
and it really does at this point. So
I know I tweet at you. I've seen other people do this as well, but there's like, when I find an interesting goat, I'm like, Ariel needs to see this.
We didn't have a reference point for what to do with goat pictures before. But now we know.
I went to the Gentle Barn in LA, outside of Los Angeles. This was early this year, right? And I was wearing my NYCFC track jacket, but I took a photo with this goat that was like leaning on a thing.
Nice.
It was just like, literally leaning like this.
Yeah.
And it was a hit.
It was a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You leaned in like opposite. It looked like a mirror image.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's literally, you guys should just change to like a baby animal goat podcast and that's it. And
I mean, if we want to be successful, that's a good
idea. Yeah.
Where's the money?
Yeah. Come on, meal kits.
Come on. Exactly. Blue Apron. Everything but goat.
But you've interviewed a lot of players. David Villa. Just interviewed.
Your good friend.
Miguel Almirón, I saw over Instagram Live. I don't know if there's any particular interview that was like one of your favorites or one of your more memorable and maybe story from any player interview.
Honestly, so David Villa, who in my mind is like my friend, although I don't know, he's literally one of my favorites, and it's because he's so like normal and such a nice, lovely gentleman, and he'll remember you. Like, I ran into him in the elevator at work and he came out and said hello, you know, and he has this whole entourage around him that are all like, you know, hovering, and he's like, hola, whatever. Yeah. And he'll kiss you on the cheek. He's just like a down
collapse
dude.
Every time.
So it's surreal stuff like that. I always love talking to him.
I met him once at a Third Rail event.
Yeah.
And
he was there, which is like,
which was awesome. He was super. He was very nice and very like warm and signing autographs and stuff. But there was such a fervor, and everyone was just like so excited to see him.
Beyonce walks in.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary, actually.
Yeah, and he's like, he's kind of a diminutive man. He's very small.
He's not shy, but he's like a very placid energy type of guy.
I was like mildly worried for him. You know,
yeah,
he was just
yeah.
like, his eyes were big with everybody, like just he's like, there's not the security that he would have like in
Europe.
In Europe.
Yeah.
Like if he walked around Barcelona, it would be crazy.
It's like 70% of the frenzy with like half of the like stop gaps to keep you from that frenzy. Yeah, it's wild.
One of my favorite things, I was at a pizza event last night. Yeah, that's right.
On brand.
Yeah, very perfect. There was an opening of Sorbillo's, which Gino Sorbillo's, a massive name in Naples for pizza. And I'm talking to him, and he knows a little bit of English. And I was like, oh, do you like soccer? And he's like, eh. And I'm like, Gaucho. And he's like, oh, yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, a player coming. And I'm like, oh, and I looked down his phone. He's texting with Andrea Pirlo.
Stop.
And I was like,
did Pirlo go to the pizza party?
He was going. I had to leave before that. I had to get to a spot. But I literally waited as long as I could.
You left a pizza party that
I've had a conversation
going to
with
comedy?
Pirlo. I've, first of all, don't say comedy that way. And second of all, comedy?
It's like if we were like, oh, you write about soccer?
Yeah.
People talk to me like that all the time.
Of course. Well, you just did it to me. How did it feel?
I laugh. I'm like,
I haven't worn an Arsenal jersey.
My favorite thing is when I meet randos not from our bubble.
Civilians. Like, non-soccer people.
Non-nerds, and they'll be like, do you even like soccer? I mean, can you imagine if I hated this and I had to live in this world? Like,
people must ask you that all the time.
It's.
But is it like a condescending thing, like a woman in soccer?
No,
or
it's never,
well, that's cute touch.
It's never that. It's more like random. It's always women never ask it, but the men who ask isn't like, they don't ask because it's a woman in sports. They ask just because it's like condescending towards the sport
itself.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
I do enjoy that's starting to go away, though.
Which is wildly progressive in some weird way.
Yeah, right.
I'm not offending you because you're a lady.
Yeah, never.
I'm offending you because the sport you like is insignificant.
But I always laugh because imagine all the time that I have to spend thinking about freaking minutia of this sport. Yeah. Imagine if I didn't like it. So I always think
it would have been really hard to write, which is something that I think you're kind of famous for. You were involved in the best dressed coach.
Oh, yes.
Bracket. This
was
a bracket.
Coach bracket. Very serious. Second year running. We also had a mascot bracket last year, for which I also take credit.
Yeah, but this is all the hard work of Ariel Castillo.
I learned a lot in that anytime there's a poll involving Atlanta, they're very good at gathering votes.
The arsenal of MLS. They will Twitter vote themselves into championships. Regardless of whether they want to or not.
Does that work for anything besides the FA Cup? Because I want to...
God, I'm just, as an Arsenal fan, I'm just happy we beat Tottenham. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
As an Everton fan, I'm just hoping we don't get relegated.
Oh, buddy. Bring in Big Sam. You need it. What is your goal? I mean, you know, you talk about like what you've done
really
in soccer.
You really did talk to my parents.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was, we asked all the Garber questions. Now this is
when
the Castillo family
settle
questions.
Settle down with a nice man. Yeah.
I knew it. They sent the check, the list. Yeah. You're going to ask me about grandkids soon. And then...
Angel's like, here, my family needs you to ask this question. But like, what is your goal in soccer? Is soccer a part of your overall goal? Because you started out in music.
Yeah.
You're kind of still covering, you cover the sport of soccer like it is, like you work for Pitchfork to some degree. You know what I mean? Like you kind of.
You know what? I take that as a compliment though, because I think the culture around the sport is fascinating. I think the personalities around it are fascinating.
She's talking about us.
Yes. Hello. I met you guys. Yeah. And I think the fans are so, like, the fans are so cool and creative, and all these like interesting side things happen that are just so interesting. And that to me is awesome.
So what is it? What do you hope to achieve? Do you want to continue to work in soccer for a long period of time?
You want Don Garber's job?
Like a future music?
This is my annual performance review. Like we said, right?
Yes. I would love Don Garber's job.
I would like to continue working in soccer, but where does it go? I mean, I don't know. The sport's at such an interesting time right now.
We're turning a corner. No one knows how big the corner is.
Yeah.
We don't know if we're in the beginning or the end of it, but it is turning a corner.
We're the sport of the future for the last however many decades.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe the future is here. I don't know.
Hopefully. I mean, for what we're doing. God, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Blue Apron.
Come on, Meal Kids.
Yeah, come on.
You just gave them a free impression.
Huh?
You can't
say but they're
the
closing soon. They fired half their people.
Well,
come on.
They're definitely not advertising. Yeah,
they're the Chivas USA. Speaking of soccer, I think because you're such a nice person online, people feel like they can go to you when something controversial is happening. Over the years, I've seen your notifications just blow up whenever something's happened. And they're like, well, come on. Like, you're the cool teacher who'll be like, here's what's happening behind the scenes. Like, you know, you're the one people go to. Is that kind of annoying?
No. Being a cool teacher, I like that people think they can talk to me. I talk to people all the time. Honestly, like, sometimes I don't even have any information because it's like 5 pay grades above mine. And I find out things on Twitter or whatever, like the way everyone else does, for better or worse. But sometimes I can help. Like we were saying before all this started rolling, like if I'm working on a Saturday night and someone has a problem with MLS Live, I actually will try to help them fix it. Just
you're like, I'll go talk to Steve. He's right here.
No, literally it has been. Yeah. The person's name isn't Steve, but there have been instances where I am just like, can you check that account? Which is, I don't know, maybe that's crazy, but I enjoy it. So,
well, then let's give you something as if you were online here.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, I wish I had the line into everyone's front offices, but like, I can't do anything about player transactions.
We said this in meetings when we've been at MLS. We'll say it to you. Can you get the fantasy on the app? Is that possible?
Oh, that might be in the works, but I don't know. Don't hold me to that.
Please.
But I do feel your pain on that.
God. Thank you.
I think
it doesn't happen, that kitten dies. I want you to know.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So sorry.
But that's how spoiled we are that we can't even go to just like a website on our phones.
I gotta open up a laptop.
I gotta
now.
Open up a thing. Yeah. To go, like,
no, but it's true. Who goes on a laptop except like, I don't know what you're doing
here.
Yeah.
But this is it.
It's just a prop. We took this from the Apple Store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This is made out of cardboard.
It's on loan.
Yeah. There's nothing here. What is it? If you were given the chance to cover video, write, follow, anything. And within MLS, what do you think would be like a dream job of yours, like for a season?
I think the thing that...
besides following around David Villa.
Following Liam Gallagher as he follows MLS. That's my wild fantasy world. But the thing one thing that I would love to do that I think Steve Berlusconi from the soccer tour came close to doing is visiting all the venues. He made it to most of them, and he also did lower division markets as well, or cities and teams. And that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really
cool. And if he ever wanted to go back and do that, there's so much opportunity there. And I think a road trip, travel diary, just really getting the sense of every city would be my dream assignment.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
And getting a chance to see a game in every MLS stadium.
Yeah. And if anyone hasn't like visited the soccer tour and seen that project, I I just love it. So it's worth checking
out. We had him on the show. It was great. Yeah. In the mid tour. And we're like, where do you poop? Like,
yeah. And he just, and he just saved his own money and funded it himself. It's just like super inspiring.
It's interesting. There's a similar thing. There's a comedian, and it was Jessica Watkins, who did this. She walked across the country.
Maybe I should do that.
She walked.
That was very fast. Yeah. Hey, like, Bushwick already?
She's like, I'm on. I'm
get a boy. Sneaker sponsor, lose some weight. Yeah.
Like, but she walked across the country and did stand up throughout, like across like maybe 12 states. And obviously that's like the most extreme. But when talking to her now, she's doing like a whole documentary about it. But talking to her now, it really was like incredibly life changing. Just to experience that. And I can imagine Berlusconi probably, you know, feels the same way.
So that was inspirational, I think.
All right. Cool. Yeah, that'd be fun to do. Go to every MLS venue during one season.
Now, I'm curious. There's a couple. I guess we want to talk about like the social media in soccer. Like you were talking about NBA is very great with social media. Are there any people that come to mind that you love with their social media? Anybody in MLS that you particularly like? Oh, I want to see what this person doing. Besides us, obviously. But like personally, I know whenever I see Juan Agudelo like Instagram story, I'm like, see what I gotta see what he has to say.
He's really good.
What Colombian music is he listening to today?
Yeah. Davia does that too. He like takes a car every morning or whatever, and he's always showing whatever the Sirius is playing,
right?
Which I think is interesting. Swagadelo, good choice.
Yeah.
Sebastian Legette was good, although he's kind of been injured, so he's been out of the spotlight. But at his peak, he was really good. And I hope he returns to full health, both on and off the field.
Sure. Yeah, we need those abs on social media.
What is it, that boy?
The boy. He was into it, right, in a way that a lot of guys aren't. Let me think. I think Christian Roldan is always really cute.
Adorable.
His little buddy romance with Jordan Morris is awesome.
What do they call it? Jordan or something like that? What is it?
Jorstian Morton. Jorstian
Morton.
Yes.
That's so stupid.
No,
you said Jordan Morris's name in a different way.
I was like,
I'm
trying
Jordan.
To think Jordan. sorry.
But what I love about that was that's a teenage fan in Seattle who goes by Bread, who invented that, and the team picked it up. So shout out to Bread.
I meant stupid in a fun way, like the New Yorker, like you're so stupid.
Yeah, you mad stupid right now.
But and here we are talking about it. So that's the kind of thing I love anyway, that a fan can come up with a random thing, and here we are talking about it in a studio in New York.
Yeah.
What other guys are good? Man, there's so
I love
many.
Matt Doyle's Twitter.
Oh well, of course. All of my coworkers.
Yes, all of your coworkers. I'm one of them, by the way. Right?
Yeah.
How's that? Now, I mean, let's talk about this because I'm sure you had another great question. But more importantly, what is the talk within the at the water cooler about how amazing I am?
Your columns are amazing. We're so happy to have you on board.
Taking all
and
of that.
So yeah, we're so into it.
Groundbreaking, I think is what you wanted to say, but I say for you. There's a bunch of really cool stuff happening. It's nice to have people that aren't just like stat nerds. And formation nerds that you can turn to. And a lot like what you've said, there's so much that goes on in the American soccer sphere that we don't talk about. I mean, just like, you know, we hung out with Alan Gordon at MLS. And like 5 minutes with him was like, this guy's hilarious. He's out of his mind. I was like, dude, just run in there
allergic
and hit the ball.
Allergic to shirts, too. Like, he has this problem.
I don't know. Allergic to sleeves.
I don't know where it comes from. But
he's just one of those guys where I'm like, these are the types of personalities that we didn't see much of when we decided to start, and which is why we started, you know, doing what we do. And also, you know, a lot of, and we made this joke in the first segment, but a lot of the soccer media is for the most part very white. It's a very not a lot of people of color that you see.
Yeah,
so
well, covering the North American sport for sure.
For sure. And I think that's something that we thought when we started. Was that something that was important to you when you first?
It's super important for me to serving the like Latin audience, the bilingual audience is super important to me. That like I feel like I'm out here for people who grew up bicultural, bilingual, and I'm out here for women. And being out here for those groups is important to me, which is why I like to do things like have Miguel Almiron on our Instagram speaking in both languages and trying to simul translate or whatever. So,
Great,
and it makes the guys more comfortable, and you just get a better range of stories. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, when we started, we said that seems like any time that MLS does something that's for the Latin American market, it's in Spanish. And we're both Latino. All three of us are. Yeah. And we all grew up speaking English, and we can speak both languages. So like that mix of Spanglish, or for us, just covering it from the point of view of someone who's Latin.
I think, again, because this was a thing of fusion, it's a thing that we could talk about forever. But again, it's a perspective thing, because I'm not going to really watch all Spanish language coverage all the time for my news. I get it in both. I definitely love to watch soccer in Spanish more. But it's about having a perspective, or just having an open mind to different communities that are out there.
Cool. I'm glad that was important for you. Because I know when we started, we were like, I think we might be the only ones doing like a podcast that I know of that are kind of like from our point of view, especially just as like New Yorkers. You know, a lot of times like you listen to podcasts, they're in all these different areas, or they're like Skyping. I feel like we were like the only ones in New York. So it was like, yeah, we might
as
well.
There's some more now, and it's growing, because one of the other things I've been doing is keeping this long podcast list.
That's right. So we didn't make the first draft.
So I always I have to update that. I try to update it like quarterly, but it's definitely growing. Yeah. And so that makes me happy.
Yeah. And I know in the one where we're listed, it says that you're going to hear a lot about NYCFC. Other than like the first few months, we're no longer an NYCFC podcast.
Well, like I said, it does have to be updated. Yes. So.
Okay. Just saying. And that's why we brought you here.
Yeah. That was the whole point. All right, we can take this thing
down. Can you actually log in and do it right now?
You log in with your WordPress or however that's done.
So we were talking about some social media accounts. I brought two that I thought were just fun that I think, you know, maybe you could just take a look at. I don't know if you've seen these, but I they were pretty entertaining to me. First one.
My girl Rachel with the goat.
Rachel Bonetta. You've seen her on, she's on Fox. She works on Fox. She does
really
Fox
not
soccer.
Prepared.
But you can
see my reaction, because my friend Nathan McVitie in London tagged me in that.
Tagged immediately, right there.
Of course, so that's at the top.
First he hit off a couple exclamation points to show he's excited, but then he was like, you know who else would be excited? Ariel Garcia.
And I love it. And so, and I was like, it's so true. One goat is never enough. That's fact. Yeah. As my friend just found out here. And who doesn't want to cry when they hold a second baby goat? It's really special.
I mean, it is pretty dope. For the people listening,
you're washing my hands.
We're watching a video of Rachel Bonetta just
holding handed two baby goats.
Two baby goats and losing her mind.
Yeah. As one does.
She is having a OD on cuteness.
What happens is the soul like leaves the body and then comes back, and you just
that's right. Yeah,
not me. I would be thinking of all the parasites they have.
You don't have, they're clean anyway.
You don't know that. You don't know those goats.
You know where they've been. I know very little about goats, but they do seem pretty chill.
They're very chill, especially when they're babies. They're just like puppies with hooves.
Okay, just like most kids, and when they grow up, they're assholes. You know,
you don't want them around. Funny that you got tagged in that.
Next,
no, that's why you picked it. But no, I guess my brand image is just really solid.
That was absolutely a coincidence. One I wanted to show you. This is
okay. So, yes, another good social media account, Brad Evans. I love his social media accounts, because he does not care. You can tell that's a guy. He's a veteran. He's like, I have my career. I'm gonna say whatever I want.
Literally says whatever he wants.
Whatever
I love
he wants, and I'm obsessed. He has a really good dog, and Stephen Fry's Wrinkle Wednesdays, also really good Sounders dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a video of Brad Evans brushing his dog's ears.
A member of the Brad Evans fan club.
Oh, could Brad Evans give me a massage, dude?
He's just a gentle, nice person. I've never met him, but I just assume that he is.
I mean, from this, you would assume that,
The video is Brad Evans gently caressing his dog's
who's laying
ears.
On his back, but on Brad's legs.
It's extremely
See, I watch this, and I think about it as all the dog hair getting on Brad.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm so sorry. I grew up without pets. I could care less.
But you're in New York. I don't understand how you can be so weird about stuff getting on you.
Oh, God. Well, I can't see the homeless spit getting on me, but dog hair, you can see it.
Oh, I'm surprised you don't know Alexis well enough to know that he is weird about everything. Yeah. He is a very anxious.
I've got opinions, baby.
Strange man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, listen, Aria, I know, look, you took some time out of your day. You've got to head back. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people follow you? Where can people tag you when they see goats?
Tag me in goat photos at Arielle C, which is Arielle C. And my website is ariellecastillo.com, which
You've got your reel out there now. I saw you edited that. She's doing
so
a whole bunch of stuff.
You can find out more about me. It's Arielle Castillo. Boom.com.
Yeah, you know what? Growing up, I had a one of my best friends. His name was Ariel, but he was a boy.
Yeah,
a boy,
well, that's Ariel. With one L. So I have Charles and an E.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it pronounced the same way in Spanish?
Yeah. My name, it's a long story. It doesn't make any sense. So
okay. Part French. Does it come from that?
Just Francophiles. That's really? It. It was just, yeah.
Hilarious. Awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Ariel, for being on the show. What a fun one.
It's great.
We got that. We're going to find out. By the time you hear us next time, we'll know who's in the MLS Cup. It's kind of exciting. And of course, thank you so much for Soccer Down Here for the scarf.
Yeah.
And that was the scarf we got at MLS Cup. So again, we're going to be bringing a little bit part of, we're going to make this our studio.
We're kind of saying this probably going to be a rematch.
Yeah. I mean, what is this? Seattle versus Toronto on the other side. So it looks like Seattle versus Toronto again.
We'll see. Hopefully, maybe we're wrong. Who knows?
Well, again,
Houston, Columbus.
It could be. It could, and Columbus, which definitely is not going to be awkward for people. But, you know, whoever hosts it, hopefully it'll be fun. And I know it'll be fun because we'll be there. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!